recording live from Roslyn, Pennsylvania.
This is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises via the Beverly Nation. This is Peripheral Vision, and my name is Louis Devon. Hello, everybody. It's great to be with you again, Beverly Nation, host, the family, the connections, producer Lonnie Beverly. It's great to be with you all again tonight. Tonight is April 22nd, 2014. The hour is 9:30 p.m. And I would say the temperature is about, 56 degrees, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, but it's nice, comfortable evening weather. We're having a great month in April. It was such a beautiful day today, sunny, clear, and, you begin to learn how to appreciate some of the things that you didn't pay attention to 20 years ago, and, like, the weather and just the way things are put together, just the hand of God is amazing to me, sincerely. It really is. So, listen, let's get into our topic tonight. But before we do that, we'd like to invite everybody on the Beverly Nation to give us a call, 347-202-0392. You can press 1 to talk, or you can just listen in to the conversation. We are broadcasting live from Roslyn, PA, and this is our 322nd episode of Beverly Nation. So things are just moving right along, and God is blessing us. So look, let's have a word of prayer, and let's get into this topic tonight, okay? So here we go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. So, Beverly Nation, tonight we have a great topic regarding the Ku Klux Klan. Should the Ku Klux Klan be held or be charged for crimes against humanity, much like the Third Reich of Nazi Germany? Should the Ku Klux Klan be charged for crimes against humanity, much like the Third Reich was for Nazi Germany? Now, here's a question. I don't think my opinion matters any more than the next person's opinion. I just would like to get everybody's take on this topic. Just ask yourself that question. Should the Ku Klux Klan be, that's all I'm asking, should they be charged? Should the Ku Klux Klan as an organization, as a body, as a commission, should they be charged for crimes against humanity? We're going to take a look at a couple of things here tonight. And again, we're just going to think about it. I'm not asking you to, I'm not saying when they should be held, how they should be charged, what should be the outcome of the charges, but I just want us to think. I mean, should they be held on charges? Should they be charged, in other words? Should they be charged for crimes against humanity here in America, against the African-American, against the Negro male and female? Should they be charged, just like, the Third Reich was charged for crimes against humanity against the Jewish population in Nazi Germany and other places around the world, but namely Nazi Germany? Okay, now let's take a look at a definition. Let's take a look at a definition for crimes against humanity. All right, well, before I get into the definition, I just kind of want to say, where is all this coming from? This is, again, from a conversation. I was able to do some research on the issue that I'm going to bring up. And, the question burns. So we'll continue. Let's go with this definitions of crimes against humanity. The 1945 London Charter of the International Military Tribunal, Norberg Charter, Article 6C, this is the definition, extermination, enslavement, deportation, and other inhumane acts committed against civilian populations before or during the war. Murder, extermination, enslavement, deportation, and other inhumane acts committed against civilian populations before or during the war, or prosecutions on political, racial, or religious grounds, and execution or in connection with any crime within the jurisdiction of the tribunal, whether or not in violation of the domestic law or the country where they're perpetrated, or where there is a perpetration. Any of the following acts, when committed as a part of a widespread systematic attack directed against any civilian population with knowledge of the attack: murder, extermination, enslavement, deportation, or physical or forcible transfer of population, imprisonment, or other severe deprivation of physical liberty in violation of fundamental rules or international law, torture, rape, sexual slavery, enforced prosecution, forced pregnancy, enforced sterilization, or any other form of sexual violence, persecution against any identifiable group or collectivity on political, racist, national, ethnic, cultural, religious, gender as defined in paragraph 3, or other grounds that are universally recognized as impermissible under international law in connection with any act referred to in this paragraph or any crime within the jurisdiction of this court. So we just took a look at a definition for crimes against humanity. Now, the Tulsa race riot, let's just kind of direct our attention to this one incident. Tulsa race riot, okay, believed to be the single worst incident of racial violence in American history. Okay, the Tulsa race riot, I'll say again, is believed to be the single worst incident of racial violence in American history. Bloody 1921 Tulsa race riot has continued to haunt Oklahomans to this present day. During the course of 18 terrible hours on May 31st and June 1st in 1921, more than 100 homes, or 1,000 homes, excuse me, and businesses were destroyed. While credible estimates of riot deaths range from 50 to 300, by the time the riots ended, the city had been placed under martial law. Thousands of Oklahomans, or thousands of Tulsans, were being held under armed guard, and the state's second largest African-American community had been burned to the ground. Beverly Nation, this is, a story that is obviously not a new story. This is the Tulsa race riot of 1921, and I just want to repeat a few things that I just read here. It says the city had been placed under martial law. Thousands of Tulsans were being held under armed guard, and the state's second largest African American community had been burned to the ground. So, Tulsa Tulsa, by early 1921, Tulsa was a modern city with a population of more than 100,000. Most of the city's 10,000 African-American residents lived in the Greenwood District, a vibrant neighborhood that was home to two newspapers, several churches, a library branch, and scores of black-owned businesses. So this is post-slavery time. This is the post-slavery era beginning in America, and the city of Tulsa in Oklahoma had a thriving community of African Americans. About 10,000 or more were involved in constructing a life for themselves. Businesses they built churches. They had a library branch in this particular part of town, and scores of black-owned businesses. So it's no secret that the African American community back in these times were on the go, trying to put the past behind them, not starting a lot of fires politically with things that making statements about slavery, but look, let's just move on and let's just try to pick our lives up, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, as it is said here in America and other parts of the world, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and let us, create commerce for ourselves and our children, my producer, Lonnie Beverly, has sent me a message. Lonnie, please open up the topic. What say you on this matter or what we've been talking about so far? We really haven't gone deeply into it yet, but we researched the definition for crimes against humanity, and we are now looking at Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 in the town of, in the Greenwood District, where African Americans were very successful in building a successful, thriving town. What say you on this matter in particular?
Well, first of all, I want to thank God for Alan Levy for giving us all the opportunity to speak our mind, blogtalkradio.com. I am Lonnie Aloysius Beverly. Am I going with Farmer Radio or Lonnie? I'm going to tell you who I am tonight, CEO of this great network. And we petitioned in the first instance. We talk about Tulsa 1921, because we are compelled to speak on the unending slaughter of black people. Excuse me, God.
Well, everybody's a little upset about this. Well, everybody's a little sensitive. A lot of folks want to speak up on
the
topic.
Not only that, my dogs are being excited right now, and it would be right now. And that's nothing but Satan in its first instance. But basically, we petition in the first instance because we are compelled to speak upon the unending slaughter of black people. In fact, our ethnic origin, of which we are proud, okay? Our ancestors were building the world's first civilization 3,000 years ago before our oppressors emerged from barbarism in the forests of Western Europe. And daily made the signal for segregation and murder. There is an infinite variety in the cruelty that we catalog, but each case has a common denominator of racism. This opening statement by me, if not in the place to present our evidence in detail, still in this summary of what it is to be proved, it is to believe it is necessary to show something of the crux of our case, something of the pattern of the genocidal murder each day, the technique of incitement to genocide, and the methods of mass terror. Our evidence starts with Louis Devon tonight in 1921, and it continues to be present. It gains in deadliness and in number of cases almost in direct ratio to the surge of war. We are compelled to hold this automatically to be brought into manageable proportion. So, like I said, we're blessed right now to have Lou DeVorn come on. My dogs are excited. I'm excited. And right back to Louis DeVorn. But that is our first statement of the night, and I had to make it in spite of my dog. So back to Louis DeVorn.
Thank you. Thank you, Lonnie, for your support as a friend and as a leader here at the Beverly Nation, we appreciate the support you give us. I personally appreciate the journalistic freedom that you allow so that I can bring up topics. And when things come to mind, I don't have to toil much about whether it's going to be okay to talk about, because you already basically have shown support in the past and set a precedence for being supportive to the host of the Beverly Nation, so that we can you know, dig in deep and bring in these provocative topics. Now, the question again is, should the Ku Klux Klan, because the Ku Klux Klan, okay, well, look, here's the question. Should the Ku Klux Klan be charged for crimes against humanity here in the United States against the African-American community, the Negro community, male and female community, much like the Third Reich of Nazi Germany, where they were charged against the crimes against humanity under the Nuremberg Tribunal, and they were basically charged with crimes of humanity, crimes against humanity against the Jewish people. They were forced to pay reparations. They were forced to take down their flags. You don't see any Third Reich flags flying in Germany anywhere. But there is still a popular flag that's associated with the Ku Klux Klansmen and their organization. It's that Dixie flag that they love to fly down there. I think it is in South Carolina that still flies on a top of the state building. But, we pick our battles. But the point is, you know, the Third Reich were, as a people, the German nation, as a people, you know, decided, look, this is wrong. You people are responsible for crimes against humanity, against another population of civilians, and you are going to have to pay for that. And not only are you going to have to pay for that, but you're going to have to apologize to the world for what you have done to stain our nation, being Germany. And what you're going to also do, we are also going to demonstrate justice to the people, to the German population here. We're going to demonstrate justice by creating a funds for reparations commission so that you guys will be charged for restitution, repayment, recompense. You have to pay these people for what you have done to them, for the terror, for the horror that you have inflicted on the minds and the bodies, the legacies, and the generations of people, or this generation of people of this nation who had to endure such hardship here in this land, which was Nazi Germany. So, again, what's the difference? What's the difference? Beverly Nation, our number is 347-202-0392. We are broadcasting live from Roslyn, and this is our 322nd episode of the Beverly Nation Peripheral Vision with Louis Devon. I am Louis Devon, and I'm a man of love. I'm a man of God, and you know, if you ask me, I'm a man of God, and I believe that, you know, God is a God of justice. He is. My God is a God of justice. He is. The nation of Israel suffered in slavery for 400 years under the hands of the Egyptians. And God, through last week, you remember historically the Passover last week, where he did some incredible, he performed miracles, slapped the nation with plagues, all so that he could have a chance to demonstrate justice to the people of Israel in front of the world. And he did, successfully. And it's all accounted for and is written about here in the scriptures, and we read these scriptures every day. So we know our God is a God of justice. We know at this also, at the same time, that when you do, if you are the perpetrator, and if you are charged for crimes against humanity as a body, and if you are held in trial, and if you are convicted, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go, you know, taken away and shot, you know, with a firing squad, or, you know, put to death in some kind of weird way. No, what it means today, what it would mean today, I mean, you know, my idea is, you know, if the Ku Klux Klan is responsible for these things, and if they should be charged for crimes against humanity, then they should take the whole loaf. You should be committed to to payment. That was just not the best way I wanted to put it, but if you can't have it both ways. I mean, you know, ask the Jews of Germany. I mean, the pendulum swings in both directions. It does. It swings in both directions. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I mean, the African American people, we are a community of geniuses, and have been that way for many years. Why aren't we after someone? I mean, what I mean is, why can't we put our legislative brain power together and come up with a resolution draft for reparations here in America? Why are we afraid to talk about what we're talking about tonight? Why are we afraid to say, yes, the Ku Klux Klan should be charged for crimes against humanity? Yes, they should be put out of business. Yes, they should be held legally and financially responsible for their actions here in America, because what they have done, what they were a part of here in America, can be directly related to what we see today in America. Every tree has a root. If you look at the African American community today as a tree and list all of the issues that you see in our community, just remember that tree has a root. That tree has a root. I'm not saying that we should live in the past. I'm just saying that we should remember the past so that we can navigate a bright and successful future.
I lost you, but you know, it's funny. And you're telling the truth. There was a time when racist violence, you know, had its center in the South there, Lou. But, you know, as black people spread to the North, East, West, and South, escaping the Southern hell, you know, the violence impelled in the first instance by economic motives. It follows that. Its cause is always economic to me. Most of the violence against black folk occurred back in those days in the countryside, okay? But that's when, before the Negro so-called immigrations of the 20s and 30s. Now, today, 2014, there is a there's no great American city, from New York to Cleveland to Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, Chicago, what have you, Memphis, Atlanta. There's not disgrace by the wanton killing of innocent black people by, okay, one, the police brutality, as well as ourselves. Now we're
right.
Like the Klan. But what's moving what's the pendulum? What is moving people to do these things? There are silent battles behind the scenes. There are silent weapons for quiet wars. I do believe this. And, you know, once the classic method of lynching black people was the rope, now it's miseducation. Okay? It can go on
right.
And on and on. But tonight,
right.
We're talking about the causes of what happens in our community. We know that the drugs just don't, you know, get there by any, you know, just don't come out of magic. We know that guns in our community just don't come out of magic. There still
right.
is a Klanic movement in this
right.
country. We will never heal ourselves until we get rid of this classic racism. Racism is a sickness unto death. You know, I got somebody on the line right now, Brother Luke Vaughn, that would love to talk to you. I guess it's your sister.
My brother.
My sister,
you
my
know
sister.
What? I have been waiting, tiptoe anticipation, because first what I'm going to do is answer your question. Damn right they should pay.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I think always has, because that is what has always happened. Anybody else that have done, look at what happened when they, Pearl Harbor, okay, they rebuild, they help that the whole country, the whole bit, but everybody but the crimes towards our race has
uh-huh.
been as if it is nothing.
Right.
Okay, dust blown in the wind. That's all. We're supposed to forget about it. But if this is really a true and just country, then they should want to do the true and just thing and make these people pay for what they've done. We've talked about reparations. You and I agree. We've kind of like battled back and forth, not so much a battle because you and I don't really battle. We may have some differences in what we believe, but the truth of the matter is we've talked about reparations. That can be the reparation right there, to make them pay for what has happened, because
right.
it is okay. The same color blood, the same elements and everything that is inside the blood, the same content is in the black blood as it is in the white blood. We had a governor some years ago that needed an organ transplant. And it was a black man's organ that they got. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right, I do.
To give him life. So there is 100% equality there among people in terms of what we're made of. We bleed, we eat, we pee and poop just like anybody else. Yet
that's
we're looking for the lowest on the earth.
I got to say this, Darlene, and I got to say this, Lou and Darlene, you know, I know I'm going to keep it, it's not about levity, but I'm going to keep it real, real, real funky like a fat man's draw. Folks, black folks, if you get reparations, please do not make Sprint and AT&T rich by paying all your bills off in one day. Because the reparation
right.
is for you to save for future generations. It's not for you to make
right.
Cadillac the biggest stock in the nation. Did I say that?
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry. Good to you, Darlene.
No, you said what you needed to say right there, because you said too much. I'm just saying, you know, what my brother is talking about, and I'm telling you, Lou, this is a wonderful topic. I have had tiptoe anticipation waiting for you to go on, and so I can listen to it and hear what you say, because I already know what you want to
yeah.
say. You and me, kindred spirits, we feel the same about this kind of stuff.
All right.
You know,
but wait, we're going to keep this as a family circle. Lou, I got somebody that's been waiting to talk to you. Darlene, you're not going nowhere. We're going to make this the old school Beverly Nation family circle, but we're going to make this as long as we possibly can, because we want Lou to get – Lou, I want you to tell the whole – like the Bible says what we told Ezekiel, eat the whole roll. You want to say this whole roll tonight. We're not giving up the air, so everything has been extinguished and expounded upon on this note tonight on the should the Ku Klux Klan pay, just like the Third Reich. I got Simeon Myers on this program tonight.
So
I
okay?
You hear what I say?
All
right. Come on,
Simeon,
brother Simeon.
Hold on. He on it. He don't think you. Simeon, you on?
He's there.
Brother Simeon, you there?
Simeon, he calling you.
Oh, you know what? I'll get back with him. We are calling him, so tell him to come to the radio. We're going to put him back on in 1 minute. But listen, someone
That's
has to pay.
That's fine. But
from 1866, and I did a show, and Ricky Jones is on this air right now. We did a show in November of 2012 about General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was the first Grand Wizard of the first meeting in Lynchburg, Tennessee, of the Ku Klux Klan. And his motto was kill them all. Now, I never heard of a motto like that in my life. Until Mein Kampf was written by Adolf Hitler. He said, kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews are the
yeah.
reason why Germany is sinking. So Nathan Bedford Forrest said the reason why America is sinking, especially during the time when white men were being disenfranchised because of Reconstruction in the Civil War. Okay, remember that now. The South lost. Now Union soldiers are down there telling them, get on up there, get that bell, get that water, while black freedmen walked around them and laughed at them. Remember now, these men used to own these freedmen. So,
you know,
there was a lot of animosity, and that's what caused the Ku Klux Klan to become alive and be born, Lou and Sister Darlene. Through animosity, total animosity. How can this, I'm going to say it on the air, how can this nigga be free and smirk at me like he's better than me. I used to own him. Oh, no, no, no.
Right.
But those old rebels that came home, those old rebels that came home with guns, Brother Lou, said, we're going to go out as ghosts of the night, and we're going to show these so-called niggas a place where they belong. And so
yeah.
What? I'll tell you right now. We still got some Klansmen in Congress. We still got some Klansmen in business. And it's wrong. And, you know, good people of that race have done a great job to fight off the Ku Klux Klan. We want to thank God for those modern-day abolitionist people in spirit. But the Klan still exists. Oh, yeah, it still exists. And guess what?
Right.
Thank God they have not robbed the mind of the Brother Nation crew. Now, I'm going to try to go back to Brother Simeon Myers. You there, Simeon?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, man, talk to us. Talk to Lou Devon.
Hey,
bro,
what's going
Simeon,
on,
Lou? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a long time since I've been on the show.
It's been a while, man. It's great to hear your voice again, man. It's great. I'm glad to know you're doing well. You sound good.
Oh, thank you. Topic is a great topic.
Let me ask the question again. Should the Ku Klux Klan be charged for crimes against humanity, much like the Third Reich was charged for crimes against humanity over in Nazi Germany. The Third Reich targeted the Jewish community, and the Ku Klux Klan targeted the Negro male and female community. So, just to bring it back to you again. So, what say you on this matter?
You have serious background. In your background, haven't even turned the volume down, or something's going on. It's going right through the radio.
They should be charged. But they are the powers that be. The Ku Klux Klan are the ones who run this country. And I mean, is they going to be charged? No, they should be. You know, they should be. If it was a law, I mean, but they make the law. So,
right.
I mean, is it going to happen? No. I mean, because I heard you was talking about the Oklahoma, which they used to call it the Black Wall Street.
Right,
how they burned down the businesses and everything, and the hate crimes that they had towards us. I mean, we're in a state of warfare, and I remember I was telling a fellow this, I told my friend this, told some people this on the bus. This the fight started with our ancestors when we got over here. Well, actually, before we got over here, it started in Africa. Shaka Zulu was fighting them off. If you ever heard the true story of that, the fight starts then. So you're going to, and I've been telling people, you're going to have to fight your ancestors' oppressors, their children. It's going to come a day where you're going to have to stand face to face with them, and you can't just be the Uncle Tom person. Because...
Right.
They have no sides that you can join. You know what I mean? It's only one side. So, I mean, they're not going to take the blame for it. Like the Jews for the Holocaust and everything, which they didn't have the biggest Holocaust. We had the biggest Holocaust, the Africans. And not only that, Africans was in the concentration camps with them. And it was Africans that delivered some of the Jews from Hitler.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Africans from this country. Africans from this country who fought in that World War II.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I had to go
there. What they did for the Jews got money. What they do for us is they give us welfare, so we always depend on them. There are many types of devices of warfare.
Oh, you didn't say it too much? You didn't say it too much?
Many,
you sound like a Republican. You didn't say it too much?
It's just taking the words
out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's many devices. America, the people, the powers that be, the controlling powers that be over this country are the Ku Klux Klan. And you got to understand that they use different, there are different methods of how to destroy a people or put them in a position of a servant, as the Bible say, as a borrower, and they not being lenders. So they're in a position of servitude. Not, I mean, because like Most of black people that, not to get off the subject, I don't want to get off the subject. Most black people that do go to college, and some of them that they go to school, they teaching them to work for somebody else, not to work for themselves, to own their own business. Like Black Wall Street.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Somebody got an opinion. I've been waiting for an opinion like
so
this.
Much, it's so much. Should they be charged? Yes, they should be charged. But the thing is,
right.
Is they going to be charged? No, certainly not.
Well, I see the thing I like is Brother Simeon. Thank you for calling, man. I appreciate your input and I appreciate your energy.
Yeah,
he's
gonna stay on too, Lou. He's gonna stay on too, Lou. We are in the family circle. Like,
right.
What do you think?
Right. So the thing about the question is, what should they be held? I don't really. Now we already probably have an idea in our minds that naturally that they probably won't. At least we don't think that they're going to be brought to justice in our lifetime. But what I'm hoping that we can bring out is a consensus in our among our family members and our circle in our community. Should these people, I mean, can we all unanimously agree that these people should be charged? Because it took conversations for the Third Reich to be held. It took conversations, and the interesting thing about what we saw in Germany with the Third Reich and the Jewish community is that it really wasn't about race, and the Third Reich was a political party in itself. So a lot of those guys, when the Third Reich started going down, a lot of those guys were still in powerful political positions. They just turned their back on some of their Third Reich Nazi brothers, but they were pretty much, because they were a political party, so they were all spread up and throughout the government, in Germany's government. But what we're saying here is, what I would like to see is African. I would like to see a charter. I would like to see a resolution draft, and I would like to see these guys charged today. I would like to see that in my time. Let us charge them. I don't know if we're going to see it. How the outcome is going to be, but let us start the process. Let us charge them. Let us demand that they be charged.
Well, you know what?
First of all, we said a whole lot
about what we may not see in our lifetime. So my brother, it is a possibility. I'm going to keep hope alive.
There is
a possibility that we may see that in our lifetime. So let's keep that hope alive.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Brother Simeon.
Brother Lou Devon is saying this, and if I had a draft, I'm a great transcript writer. Are you trying to say the responsibility of being the first in history to charge the Ku Klux Klan Incorporated, the United Klans of America, with the crime of genocide is not one of us who are petitioners to take lightly? The responsibility is particularly grave when citizens must charge their own government with mass murder, when it comes down to Ku Klux Klan, of his own nationals, with institutional oppression and persistent slaughter of the black American race in the United States on the basis of race, like our brother Trayvon Martin, a crime abhorred by mankind and prohibited by the conscience of this world and expressed in the convention and prevention of punishment and the crime of genocide to the United Nations? Is that what you're saying, Brother Lou Devon?
Johnny Cochran was on top of that, man. He really was, and you got to do some deep research, because he had already gained a commission of gentlemen. Professor Ogletree from.
All right.
Man. Well, no, he had gotten together a coalition of skilled, mature attorneys who thought like himself, and they were preparing a reparations resolution draft to bring before the United Nations against the crimes of humanity against the United States. And he was preparing that, not just him, but it was the whole body of guys. He was preparing that, and the Ku Klux Klan's charges were going to be included in that resolution. Johnny Cochran was already on the idea of getting this done, and I like to think that we still have Johnny Tock-reminded kind of folks out there in our community who can get things rolling, and maybe if not, if this is on that level, maybe we can just continue to have these conversations and continue to build the consensus in our own community down on this level that we're on, having conversations about, yeah, these guys should be charged. When are they going to be charged? What about Oklahoma 1921? What about?
But wait a minute. What about Rosewood, Florida? Hold on. Let's just go there. If Rush Limbaugh can get on the air with his retarded ass, yeah, I said it, with his retarded ass and say what he want to say on the air. If Don Imus can get on there and call a bunch of our black women to play for Rutgers a bunch of nappy-headed hoes, we could damn sure get on this air, Beverly Nation included, to get on and say the Ku Klux Klan be charged and for the United Nations for their role. Let me say this. It's not about the United States of America. We know that. This is the best country in the world. We understand that. It's about the United States of America coming up and saying, hey, this hate organization that was founded in 1867, we got Antonia Bass on the line, we're ready to come on now. It was established in 1867, has the responsibility for all of the unknown lynchings. Did you hear what I said, Darlene and Lou? The unknown lynchings. Other people, we know that they was on the street, that they wrote that down. But the unknown lynchings, the Klan genocide of people that we'll never know that was in the bushes way back yonder in Mississippi, and their family. Now, can I say this? Can I say this real quick? Can you guys hear me? And Darlene's
moving
around. Can hear you. Let me tell you something. What we want, now I'm going to say this. What we want is reparation for the people who have been murdered by the Ku Klux Klan. Can we start there? The people, and this is only right. This is justice. This is what we're talking about tonight. We're not rambling on tonight. We're giving you straight knowledge here tonight. So please, please, please let God be our witness. The people who have been murdered by the Ku Klux, excuse me, let me say it right. So that way you get it right. So that way, like Ricky Jones said, when you tell the story, tell it right. The United Klans of America Incorporated. You hear what I said? The United Klans of America should pay retribution for the people who have been murdered. Every single person has been murdered by the Ku Klux Klan. Right now, here in America, since 1867.
Right now, Lonnie, look, check this out. This says here, this is a part of why it's important to not let this go. Since the vast majority of Tulsa's African American population have been made homeless by the riot.
Yes, correct.
Despite efforts by the white establishment to force the relocation of the black community within days of the riot, black Tulsans had already begun the long and arduous process of rebuilding Greenwood. Thousands, however, mm-hmm. were forced to spend the winter of 1921 and 22 living in tents. These people were not allowed to reclaim their property.
Their land.
They were not allowed to reclaim the acres of land that those buildings were put on that they owned. The city commission decided that these people were not going to allow them to repurchase. They gave them all kinds of new laws that they put in against fire. The fire inspector decided that if they didn't have this new type of fire insurance, that they would not be allowed to purchase the land that they just owned. So what I'm saying is the Ku Klux Klan had systematically push these African Americans out of their financial stability situation, and they were allowed to return. And that's what I'm saying is, why aren't we saying charge them? Why aren't we saying, what about Tulsa, Oklahoma? We can't allow this to go unpunished any longer.
Hold on. I got to say this. Melvina Young, my aunt, she's 84 today. Let me tell you about my strong aunt Melvina Young of East St. Louis, Illinois, a casualty of America, a true casualty of America, one of the poorest and the most dangerous cities in the world. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say America. I said one of the most dangerous cities in the world. Juarez, Mexico is the only other city that is dangerous than East St. Louis, Illinois, where my family is from. in East St. Louis in 1918. Let me get it straight for you. My name is Lonnie, and I'm all that. In 1918, there was a riot. And a lot of people don't want to talk about that riot either, Brother Lou Devon and Sister Darlene Lawrence. That riot was caused by brothers who came home from World War One. They were part of the American Expeditionary Force. That's right. I know a little bit of history. They were in the Argonne Forest right there, the 118th Division of the Armed Corps, right there in gassed-out France, right in the trenches. They came home. They were war-hardened men, and they weren't going to take it anymore. They came home, and they were treated like dogs, in a fit, like they were in a foreign land, even though it was home. They fought for what they believed in. That day, 482 black people died in the streets of East St. Louis, Illinois. Of course, they wiped it up. Clark County wiped it up. They, you know, of course, it was the influenza situation, the epidemic of 1918 caused a lot of situations. But in East St. Louis, in Chicago, in Harlem, in 1918, the first time ever, black men asserted themselves and said, you know what, we are men. Thank God for the Garveyites. Here comes Marcus Garvey saying, you know what, we don't need this anymore. The Klan is taking over. We need to go back to Africa. Now, this man had a Starline ship ready to take black folk back to Liberia where they were from. Okay, well, not really from Liberia, most of them are from the west coast of Africa. But still, it's okay. Liberia's part of that. But you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about Sierra Leone, Ghana, whatever, what have you, Gold Coast, whatever. But he was about to take them back to Africa. But once again, Klansmen got in the mix, and then somehow, some way, here we go. Okay, somehow Marcus Garvey was called up for tax evasion. You see, did Ku Klux Klan pay for the atrocities of black people in America? You're goddamn right. And I approve my message because I'm all that and I'm not afraid. I haven't been afraid since February 4th, 2013. And now we're going to go to Antonia Bass, Brother Lou, a seminal host of our Beverly Nation. Sister Bass, talk to us tonight.
Hi, how are you, Lou, and how are you, Lonnie, and hi, Darlene.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, it's good to hear from you all, and I like your topic, of course. You know, I think you all had pretty much thoroughly covered all aspects of what was involved historically with the KKK, which also managed to fester inside in our society and create additional organizations like the Skinheads, the Supremacists, and the Nazi whatever, German lovers.
Yeah, Aryan Nation. Yeah.
Aryan Nation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So we have to understand that we have a big fight to continue in the name of doing what's right for humankind, starting with us, because unfortunately so many of those groups, to my understanding, had targeted primarily people of color, starting with African Americans or people of alternative, well, not alternative, extended religions and things of that nature, mm-hmm. without trying to understand why human beings need to understand there's a bigger picture than what goes on here, not only in our nation, but with
That's
the
right.
preservation of our earth. And, you know, I don't sound like I want to downplay anything, but it's sad to know that if a meteorite hits this earth tomorrow in any section of the world, what could they ever come out of their stupid mindset to realize that we need to come to the aid of each other as human beings? But you can't expect people like that to really think in those terms. So, you know, people say, well, pray for them. You can pray for them. But you know what? You can also be a better influence by letting them see that you mean business, because the next time
right now.
Any type people ever feel as though they're going to come up and dismember somebody, kill them in front of their children, and, you know, do a lynching the old-style way, you know, like they used to do once in a while, you thought it's still happening, then, you know, you're going to let them understand. You're going to bring this whole thing up to date. And with the sympathy of other races who understand what this whole picture is about, who know that they could be the next victim at the hands
All
of
right
these
now.
People's mental state is really unstable. We won't be able to survive as a human race worldwide. So good subject.
That's right.
And, you know, yes, somebody ought to be held accountable, because just think, What kind of people can sit there and watch human beings, you know, bleed to death as a result of the physical torture that they imposed on them?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute, but you know what? No. Wait a minute, Tony. I'm not going to let y'all talk on this one. You ready for this? We did a show on News Forum about Emmett Till, remember? About the anniversary of Emmett Till, and we talked about, you know, how Mamie Till, how great a mother she was, Lou. She said, uh-uh, we ain't closing this casket, right, Tony? She said, I'm going to let the world see what they did to my son.
Yeah.
See his face in, too. That's right, folks. You young folk listening right now on Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to teach you a little something, give you a little Lonnie lesson. They beat that brother's face in, too, to where he looked like a pie, hung in from a cotton gin. You hear what I say?
Yep.
And Mamie Till said, uh-uh, I'm going to let the world know what you did to my son. I'm going to let the world know what you did to my son. The Klan down there in money, Mississippi. This has been Alani Beverly, Bicentennial Moment. Now back to Lou.
Now, I was just, and we got about 8 or 9 minutes left. Before we have
no,
to
you don't.
Down.
No, you don't.
It's 1021, Lonnie. It's 1021, Lonnie.
Nope.
All right.
I know
anyway,
that, but it's going to be a little long because you got Lovey Ellis on the line right now.
Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Lou. Hello.
Hey,
there.
How you doing?
Good evening to you all. How are you tonight?
Hey, Lovey.
All is well.
We on fire tonight, and I want to add to this discussion to say that, first of all, what gives one race an inkling to think that they're superior over another to commit such crimes, such degrading crimes, to kill, steal, and destroy another race and feel justified? Absolutely, I think the Klansmen should be held accountable and pay restitution, pay something. They need to do something because there's no way in God's green earth, with all that we've been through, and slavery and everything else we've been through, and lynching, you name it, we've been through it. We need to get our justice. We shouldn't feel like it's just us. So,
that's right.
Great topic,
right.
Lou. Great topic, Beverly Nation host. Absolutely, they need to pay for it. Absolutely.
Wait a minute, Lovey. I got to say this, too. You know, we have an extended 3 minutes. For online now, and we want to thank Blog Talk Radio for that. And like I said, and we do have to wrap it up. But I'm going to ask you a question. We know that the Ku Klux Klan must pay. You, another person of our News Forum crew, with the exception of, you know, of course, Gene Turner, who's on the air right now. But we talked about how the Ku Klux Klan now works in the minds of young black youth, and that what Lou Devon said from the gate, when you wear your pants down low, you look small to the world, right, Lou?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they know those young men.
I agree with that myself because, number one, when you go to jail, they make you take your belt off, your pants drop. A lot of these young men don't know that, hey, that's the jail look. You're dropping your pants, and they thinking that's cool. They think it's about swag. No, that's the jail look. So what actually is cool is when you look civilized and carry yourself like young gentlemen. So they need to understand. They need to do the reverse.
That's right.
Thank you, lovely.
And that's
important. And we're going to try to get this thing together because I know time is drawing nigh. I want to have remarks by all the Big Nation hosts for at least 2 minutes, Lou. And then I make my final remark, and then we're going to go right to just Lou Devon the rest of the way until he's ready to exhaust what he has tonight because I know it's a blessing. Oh, you know what? Wait a minute, Lou. We got a caller that is non-Beverly Nation, and we got to go to him right now. Caller number 5, you're on the air right now with Louis Devon in Peripheral Vision.
Hello?
Hi, how you doing today?
Hey, how's it going?
I just wanted
to add to the topic. The young lady that called before me was talking about the style, you know, the sagging pants and things of that sort. I see a lot of guys doing that, and yes, it does come from prison, and we need to teach our young people to not engage in self-destructive behaviors. And and not only that, but the Ku Klux Klan, and I don't know if anybody realizes it, but the Ku Klux Klan was founded by Albert Pike. Albert Pike was a Freemason, and he too hated black people. Adolf Hitler was at the 1936 Olympics with when Jesse Owens participated, and he walked out. He got up and walked out, and he said that he's upset because there was a monkey participating in my, you know, Olympic Games.
That's correct.
So he walked out. So what we need to do is to, in order to quell this illness, we need to stick together as a people. What I find is that we're not doing that. Black family is breaking down and has broken down. And what we need to do is take care of our own neighborhoods. We need to take care of our own communities.
Okay.
And it starts in the family. It starts in the home. What we tend to do, and this is no disrespect to anybody, but what we tend to do is we're concentrating on pointing fingers. Well, he's racist against me, he's racist against me, he's racist against me. Well, in reality, we're turning against each other. And that needs to stop, first and foremost. That needs to stop. I love to see more families that are strong, and strong families build strong people, build strong communities. So if we have strong people, then we're going to have strong families. And if we have strong families, then we're going to have stronger churches. We're going to have stronger churches. We're going to have stronger communities. Dysfunctional families equal dysfunctional people equal dysfunctional communities. And the problem is that the result or the symptom of dysfunctional families and dysfunctional people is the rap hip-hop industry. Now, Lewis and I have been talking about the music industry for quite some time, and what we see in the black community is this rise of rap and hip hop. Rap and hip hop came out of New York City in the late 1970s, and that's a safe haven for our young black men because our young black men are growing up without fathers, and that provides them significance and affirmation, the same significance and affirmation that they should be getting from their own fathers. But since they're not there, obviously they're not getting it, and they're not going to be able to get it from a woman. So the problem is they turn to these rappers.
They make it plain.
Yeah, they turn to these rappers. Jay-Z, who's in a minute, he's in the Illuminati. They turn to Lil Wayne. They turn to Birdman. They turn to all these rappers for identity. They're not doing it for stylistic purposes. They're doing it for identity purposes.
If you don't mind me asking, and I love the fact, I got to ask this question, Lou. And brother, I see that you're an intellectual, and I must say this to you, because
mm-hmm.
I'm one as well. Do you believe
mm-hmm.
in silent weapons for quiet wars?
Say this again.
Do you believe in silent weapons for quiet wars?
Explain.
Let me say my point.
Okay.
What you said tonight is absolutely fundamental when it comes down to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we fight a higher power. Now, it sounds like you're a Christian, and that's good. You sound like you have a fundamental basis in Christ. So you understand mm-hmm. that it's a principality that's higher than what is natural. Do you understand? Now, do you agree with me?
Correct. I do.
All right. So we must do this thing fundamentally first in our home. I've said this many times on our network. Charity, and we're going to archive, Lou, so don't worry about it. Charity starts at home. So we must do what we do at home. I understand. But if we have to, don't worry. If we have to continue the conversation, we will. But the key is that charity starts at home. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, and I'm very proud of what you're saying. We need more black fathers, true black fathers. Yes, I want to hold down all the black single mothers that have done their thing. Yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But we need strong uncles if there's no father present. See, back
mm-hmm.
in the day, we had that presence. There was an uncle there. There was a brother. What happened to
right.
the big brothers and big sisters of America? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What happened to Powley? You know, when a police officer was a good person in your neighborhood that wanted to take the kid in. But we're just trying to get off the conversation. We know that the Ku Klux Klan or powers that be, they're not good. I love this country, but we have some powers that be that are not good in this country. And that's what we have to fight within our own fundamental household. So I want to thank you for your call, man. And please, do me a favor, call more mm-hmm. Beverly Nation shows, man. We get down like this all the time, brother.
Oh,
hey,
definitely.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Tell them about yourself. Tell them who you are. Tell them Beverly Nation is. I'm really glad you called in tonight. Tell the Beverly Nation who you are and what you do.
Well,
now do we have time, Lou? Do we have time, Lou?
We'll make time.
All right, there we go. Now let's go.
Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Well, I'm an author, and I've written a few books. I haven't written any books on the topic, but I've written fictional novels. Of course, I live in Philadelphia, and I've been studying the problems that we as African Americans have been going through for the past 5 years, been about 5 or 10 years, and it's been worrying me. It's been of concern to me, and I think that this topic needs to be discussed more. I think that a lot of things that we're discussing between ourselves needs to be proliferated throughout the community. You know, whether people want to hear it or not is another issue altogether. But we need to sit down and we have to do a roundtable discussion about these issues because they're not going away. As a matter of fact, they're getting worse. You know, 72% of all African-American children are born out of wedlock. And this is a problem that has been, you know, more or less started with when the white liberals decided to make welfare more accessible. You know, when
Paul, I appreciate you. You're about to go there. Paul, listen, I really sincerely appreciate mm-hmm. you calling. I feel your support. I thank you so much, man. I invite
very
you to
good,
call every Tuesday night at 9:30. Peripheral Vision is on. We've been talking about that. Finally broke through and made the connection. I appreciate it. We have shows on Sunday nights, Diva Impact with Lovely Ellis, Monday nights with Darlene Lawrence and Righteous Consciousness. Tuesday nights is me. We have Thursday nights, the Patterson Opinion. It's a great husband and wife team. They you know, we just love their show. You got to catch them. On Friday nights and Saturday nights we have other shows, but I just wanted to invite you to come in and continue to join the conversation and continue to join us. Thank you, Paul, for your input this evening, and thank you for being so eloquent and effective in your communication. Thank you, Paul.
All right, we got 4 minutes, Lou. I'm going to cut you off right there for a second. So, touche. Listen, it is our duty, okay, as Beverly Nation. That's right, it's Lonnie time. It's always Lonnie time. My network. That's what it is. It's our duty to unpleasantly give you, okay, what is necessary, both for the welfare of the American people and for the peace of the world. That's what we do. Lou and I petition as American patriots to significantly and sufficiently actually to save our countrymen and all mankind from the horrors and of war to shoulder as a task as painful as is important. But we cannot forget Hitler's demonstration that genocide at home can become wider a massacre abroad, what's happening in the streets of America today. The domestic genocide develops into a larger genocide that is really predatory war. The wrongs in which we complain are so much the expression of predatory American reaction and sometimes the government that civilization cannot ignore them or risk the contempt without courting its own destruction. Now, we all agree that genocide is a matter of world concern. The Klan is what we fight, but we have to be careful, okay, that we have our own genocide within each other. We are going to continue to petition that the Klan must be charged. For all you people out there who kill each other, black-on-black crime, you're worse than the Klan itself. Do you understand that? Do you really understand that? You are worse than the Klan itself. Whatever that has been devised, it's happening now. Can you stop it? Every nation exists for it to stop. And two progressive black Republicans are here to tell you it can be done. Every nation has advertised, and through now, you ready for this? L.A. Beverly Advertising. You ready for this, now, Lou? You can reach us at labeverlyenterprises.btweb.com. You like that?
That's right.
That's right. labeverlyenterprises.btweb.com. You can reach us at lbeverly17_blogtalkradio. We're the BevNet on Twitter, and we are on the largest social media arm in the world, and that is Bevy Nation on Facebook. I wanted to say, you know, people who are on the show that support us, definitely Bevy Nation crew, and we have, you know, a little more than 4 minutes left on the program. And very quickly, in 60 seconds, because I want to make sure, you know, Lou has a time schedule, we got to get out of here, but I know Darlene's still with us. I want to bring back Antonia Pat for 60 seconds for a final comment on the family circle. Antonia?
Hello. Ignorance breeds ignorance, and we have to understand that we cannot resolve the way these people think and do whatever they do, but, you know, try to come to an understanding that humanity starts within us for those who understand and want to be about the right thing. And God bless the country, because we still have a lot of sick people here, but we got good people too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely Ellis, please sit down.
I just want to tell you that, first of all, there's no race that's better than the other, because in God's eyes, we all equal. So we need to treat each other as such. And that's all I've said.
All right. Darlene Lawrence.
Great point.
Well, my brother, you know what I'm going to say. You and me are so much in the same fight for the same reasons, because we have the same compassion for our people. And I do. I'm going to stand on that firm. I do believe there should be some reparation that is paid out. As we continue that fight and how it's done, who pays it and the whole bit, I'm going to stand with you 100%, my brother, because you are on the right side of this whole thing. So I am so proud of you. I love what you do. I love this whole topic, because you know how I feel about stuff in this world.
I know that's the truth.
So you just keep on doing it, and if you ever need me, you know how to get me.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Lou,
all right.
I
got
to say this
to
you, brother, that I got impassioned and emotional on this program, and I am unapologetic. The fight that we do every day on the Bevy Nation is important, and I want to make this very, very quick. Black Americans petition this genocide as Black Americans. And we also protested, me and Louis Devon, as Americans, as patriots, as Republicans. We know that no American can be truly free while 15 million other Americans are persecuted on the grounds of their race, and that few Americans can prosper while 15 million are deliberately pauperized. Our country can never know true democracy while millions of its citizens are denied rights. Okay, stand your ground. Can I say more? But above all, we, Lou and Lonnie, protest genocide as human beings whose very humanity is denied and mocked. Did I say that, Lou? Did I just say that about us?
Yes,
did I say that? We protest this genocide as human beings who's there right now at this time, whose very humanity is denied and mocked. I am your mother's producer, Lonnie Al, Lou Wishes Beverly, saying good night and good luck, and archive this, and Lou's will give you his information on how you can reach him on Instagram and Facebook and all that. And tomorrow morning, we go back to sports, y'all. You know, we are a business. The Dose of Sports Allergy by Kenneth Lozada, 12 noon on Blog Talk. Radio.com. I once again say good night and good luck. And now we're online right now with Louis H. Devon.
Well, Beverly Nation, it was great to be with you again this evening. This topic is a touchy, you know, topic. Conversation is touchy, and there's a lot to cover in it all. I basically only covered about a quarter of the transcript, and so we'll probably bring this issue back up again. I'm pretty sure we will. In the meantime, I have a scripture for you. Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And thank God for this word. Oh, that thou will bless us indeed and increase our territory, and that thy hand will be with us, and that thou will keep us from evil so we don't cause any pain. And God answered that which we request in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Love each other. Be good to yourselves. Supremacy is over.